Hi guys, welcome to a new episode of our podcast. Today we thought we'd talk a bit about traditional versus modern yoga. And I guess what is the current landscape of yoga, right? And how some of the traditions are still found, I would think, in the modern practice. And some of them are, I guess, lost or not focused on anymore, right? And maybe how that, we believe, influences yoga today. And especially from, more so from Monica's perspective as a teacher, and how happy or unhappy you are with the current landscape, I guess.
I'm certainly happy. I think the important thing we need to talk about is the fact that the yoga you can practice, henceforth the yoga you can teach is very diverse. You have a very, very wide variety of styles of yoga that you can experiment upon. Thank God for that. Be it more traditional or more contemporary, modern, as they say. And this is the case even in countries where yoga is just emerging, or in countries, in spaces where yoga hasn't been a very long tradition, such as the case of Romania. And the key point I'm trying to make here is that if you are very keen, very interested, very curious, very intellectually curious about yoga, you will know a lot. You will find out a lot by reading and researching as a teacher. So you're able to offer a wide variety of choices, right, for your clients, for your customers, for those who practice with you. So this is a very good advantage because on one hand, you're able to offer the world a wide variety of styles. And then on the other hand, luckily, the customers can experiment a lot of styles, and they can connect with whatever is suitable for them. And again, maybe I've said it too many times during our podcast episodes, but I will say it again. It's very important that you do not conclude that yoga is not for you as after you've tried one class. It is of utmost importance that you attend two or three or four classes that are led by different instructors, by different teachers, because you will find in this way different styles of yoga, and then you will choose what suits you best out of these different styles. So let me elaborate a little bit upon traditional yoga. So traditional yoga refers to practices rooted in ancient texts and philosophies, such as the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the Bhagavad Gita, and the various Hatha Yoga traditions. And of course, we have to understand that traditional yoga emphasizes not just physical postures or asanas, but also meditation, ethical living, the yamas, the niyamas that we had developed upon in plenty of our former episodes, and of course spiritual growth, right? Spiritual development. So traditional yoga often focuses on mind-body connection. It cultivates this mind-body connection, and it incorporates practices like pranayama, which is breath control, and meditation techniques. So it's a holistic approach that seeks to unify the body, the mind, and the spirit. So So that would be a rough definition of what is a traditional yoga practice, right? So if we are to compare it with modern yoga practices, if we look at at how yoga has been transforming in these past tens of years, we can easily see that we've seen a huge surge in styles such as power yoga, vinyasa yoga, hot yoga even, right? So these styles often emphasize rough, vigorous physical practice, and can sometimes prioritize fitness and flexibility over traditional principles of the more spiritual layers of yoga, right? So this shift has made yoga more accessible to people who are not interested in the spiritual aspects, which is the most important thing we need to talk about. What I believe and what I say to everyone asking is that it's completely irrelevant through which gate or through which door you enter the world of yoga. It's not important whether you are a spiritual being and you're a spiritual seeker, or you are in for a good workout, or for increasing your physical flexibility, or and other things that are related to your physicality. It's still fine. It's good. You will end up in yoga. If you are naturally curious, you will understand that there is much, much, much more to yoga than the physical practice, and you will seek. You will go forward further and you will understand more. If not, your yoga will be purely physical, and that's fine. Nobody can hold that against you. You get out of yoga what you need for you in this present time, in this current moment. Whether you will advance towards the non-physical layers of yoga, that's up to you. That's fine. Maybe you will, maybe you will not. That's up to you. So yes, traditional yoga is more than just the poses, right? It's a lifelong journey, a journey of self-discovery, and the focus on meditation and philosophy, it's what grounds the practice. It's what helps practitioners connect with their true selves. And of course, we can argue that modern, more contemporary yoga often overlooks the deeper, the more philosophical teachings of yoga, right?
But isn't that also because it's easier, and I think we talked about it a bit before in one of our episodes, it's easier to market physical postures or fitness or physical progress, right? So here's what you used to look like last year. Here's what you look like this year after you've done a year of yoga or whatever, right? Or here is you couldn't hold your balance. In any posture, now you can do a headstand or whatever in a few years, let's say, right? So it's very marketable, I guess, and also concrete, right? You can see it. I did this, and then whilst the spiritual one, it's maybe not as marketable, not as concrete for sure. Like you can't, from a photo, you can't really necessarily tell. Here I was 3 years ago, now being spiritual. Here is me 3 years
Being
later. You know what I'm
super
saying?
spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's less palpable, right? And you cannot talk about it, explain it in very concrete terms. But both aspects, I would say, require a lot of discipline and a lot of constance in your practice. You can feel it for yourself if you advance in a practice that's more spiritual, while a practice that's more physical, others can see it as well, if you document it via videos or photos or whatnot. We start in yoga with the more physical side of it because it's there that we are more present, or it's there that we can be more present, more concrete, more solid, more understanding of what yoga is. Sometimes, obviously, I'm sure you will agree, the spiritual and the less palpable side of things can scare people away from yoga. And we don't want that. We want yoga to be practiced by as many people as possible. And if they stay at the physical level, whatever, we can't hold that against them, right? It would be a mistake. That's still yoga. As I mentioned before, if they are naturally drawn to the multiple layers of yoga, they will reach those themselves. Yeah, that's how I see it. It kind of, honestly, it kind of feels natural. It really depends on how you are as a person, on your personality, on your, you know, of how you are. For instance, in my case, if I'm intellectually curious, if I start something new, I will be exhaustive about it. I will read a lot of things. I will do a lot of research. Try to understand it on a deeper level. Others are not like that. And that's fine. They can access whatever layer of yoga speaks to them at that point. So yeah, I think there is some parts of yoga that appeal to all of us. If we want to truly incorporate all of yoga, or most parts of yoga, or traditional yoga into our practice, that would be excellent. It's really great, because we can then enhance our overall experience of yoga. So to do this, it's essential to bring in rationale behind the poses. Why do we do this? What benefits does it bring physically? What benefits does this pose bring up, you know, at a spiritual, energetical level? Also, it's interesting to learn about breathing techniques and how they can support our entire life, our entire existence, actually, and even some philosophy, because it's a code by which we can improve our entire life. It's not just the physical side. So if we can give it a chance and see what's behind the physical side of things, we can discover a new world that might or might not appeal to us. But I think it is our duty to try. As people who experience as yoga, as people who practice yoga, it is our duty to try to access all of its layers. It would be a mistake not to, because it's a whole world to discover out there for us. And there's plenty, plenty, plenty of benefits that full practice of yoga can bring. So in this way, we can get, we can obtain a deeper understanding of yoga and a deeper appreciation for the practice of yoga, regardless of the style that we choose to practice. Yeah, that's how I see it.
I also think that the spiritual side is more complex, because, you know, doing meditations or just sitting somewhere and breathing could be more challenging than actual asanas, I would say, for a lot of people. We're not used to, I don't know, at least from my perspective, sitting down doing nothing, so to speak, focusing on our breath for extended periods of time. And I've heard this from many people, that meditation is actually very, very challenging. And, you know, I can also subscribe to that to a certain degree.
You know, I have two small stories here to reply to you. Many, many years ago, I had taken a pause for my yoga practice, and the first class I decided to attend was a yin yoga class. Yin yoga, to me at that point, seemed to be the hardest, the most difficult, incredibly difficult type of yoga that I had ever practiced, because it's supposed to be, you're supposed, in yin yoga, you're supposed to lie there for minutes and minutes on end, not moving on the mat, just letting your body be what it is and feeling the sensations that might arise. So for me to stay for 3 or 4 minutes in a pose, that was the most difficult thing I had to do in my entire life. And I said, okay, this is the most difficult yoga I will ever do. But looking back, I don't think it's the case. I don't think yin yoga is the most difficult type of yoga that you do, but it's extremely difficult still for me up to this day to lay still on the mat with my thoughts and my lack of movement, just to sit still. So yeah, I totally support your opinion. It's very difficult to sit in yin yoga pose or in meditation.
I think the challenge is also that you're supposed to, as I learned it, you're supposed to, you know, acknowledge your thoughts and then come back to the breath, right? So the idea is to keep that focus, which
exactly
is also very challenging.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, you cannot be upset with yourself. You cannot be upset with your brain, because your brain's job is to think, right? So thoughts will be there anyway, thousands of them incessantly in a dynamic pattern of movement that you cannot avoid. So the point of meditation is to not let yourself get carried away by them, but rather acknowledge them, not get upset at yourself, and come back to your breath. Come back to your body, to your physical body, and to how your breath sounds, how it feels, how it warms up your throat and your insides. That's meditation, essentially. Not to get lost in thought, but not to stay upset because you have those thoughts. And the second story I was about to mention is that last night I was supposed to teach a class. I did teach a class, but I have this regular attendant, right? She comes to all of my classes in that particular place, and I arrived a little bit earlier to the studio last evening, and I saw her in the lobby on a couch. She had her eyes closed, her headphones on, and she seemed like she was doing some sort of meditation. She was listening to something. Maybe it was a guided meditation. I don't know. I did not have the time to ask her before or after the class, but I would really like to ask her at some point. And she was, so she had her eyes closed, headphones on, listening to something, and she was doing all of these gestures with her hands. And it was very interesting because it was something new to me, right? So why I'm telling this story is because it was a very noisy environment. She was right in front of a huge TV screen with a lot of noise. It was some sort of sports competition going on. So you had the sound of that, and you also had the sound of the music from the club, from the studio, right? So it was quite a challenge. I mean, yeah, you have active noise cancellation headphones, but how much can they cancel? So it was a big challenge for her to really sit still and do all of these hand gestures and focus on her meditation. So that was really cool. So yeah, it's a bit of a mix of traditional and modern yoga that I actually witnessed last night. And, you know, I would really like to emphasize something when it comes to modern yoga. I think one of the big pluses, the big advantages of modern yoga is that it offers incredible benefits for the fitness community. Because if you're a gym bro, if you're a runner, a cyclist, a cycling, a person who is really into cycling, or if you really love sports or weightlifting, you will find tremendous benefits in practicing yoga physically, you know, because yoga really stretches your body, and you will end up enhancing your other practice, whether it's running or cycling or weightlifting or whatever type of sports that you do. So it really complements your fitness routine, if you're an amateur or your actual sports practice if you're a pro. So the benefits are there, they're visible, they're undeniable, and therefore highly advisable. So if you're a sports pro or a sports enthusiast or a fitness enthusiast, it's in your best interest to actually practice physical yoga asana, also one of the very, very cool parts about modern yoga is the sense of community. Some studios really have this about them, right? You have a lot of events that are not necessarily connected to yoga, but that link people together. So this sort of cohesion, it's something that is nowhere to be seen. It's really cool to have together, around a specific common interest and be part of that and do cool actions together. So again, something that we see in modern yoga, I would say. Both traditional and modern yoga have their unique strengths, right? So while the traditional yoga provides a solid philosophical and spiritual foundation, modern yoga offers accessibility, which is something we, of course, it's a big strength, I would say. It offers accessibility and community engagement, making it very appealing to a broader audience. So I would say I encourage everyone to explore both styles and find what resonates with them personally. Because, whether you're drawn to mindful meditative aspects of traditional yoga or whether you're drawn to the more vibrant energy and dynamic movement of modern styles, there's a place for everyone on the mat, really. So luckily, circling back to what I started with, it's really cool that we can find a very wide variety of practices that we can choose from, see what appeals to us best. So that's how it
Yeah,
is.
I agree, and I think just on my side, even if it's not, even if it's like, let's say, leaving spiritual behind, the fact that it somehow reached more people, maybe because of that, right? And so more people actually ended up practicing yoga. Discovering it and reaping some benefits, even if it's not the whole holistic approach to, it's still better than nothing, something is better than nothing. So I think from that
Absolutely.
perspective is really cool, even if it doesn't necessarily touch on everything. And then, of course, as you said, you could individually decide to go further or not. It's still beneficial.
Of course, absolutely. I totally support your statement, and I don't think we're able to practice yoga in 2024, soon 2025, actually, like we did back when yoga was systematized and invented and let out into the world. So we hopefully are wise enough to embrace the fact that yoga is an ever-evolving science, an ever-evolving system. Where plenty of us can, thrive and reap benefits out of. So, yeah, go on practicing whatever a yoga practice means for you.
Yeah, right, correct. Okay, I think that's it, right, for today.
Yes, and it's the final episode of this year, Alex, and we
Yeah.
would like to wish everyone a wonderful end of the year and a superb start of 2025. Whatever kind of celebration you're into, may you have a great one and see you soon, we hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Have great holidays, guys, and yeah, we'll see you in the next year.
Bye.
Bye, guys.